年度小王中高官没报见没报七八没报当没报五万没报都没报他的对面真是没这把你就是早被三界满能界唐巴达拉长生路 Now we Buddhist refuge Buddha Dharma Sangha. So we usually Buddham Shanamga, we usually recite Buddham Shanamga Chami, Dhammam Shanamga Chami, Sangham Shanamga Chami. Oh Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya. Now Buddha or Dharma Sangha, that Gyujib Drijab Sni.
So when we speak about the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, as objects of refuge, they can be the causal object of refuge and resultant objects of refuge.
So the very purpose to pray to Buddha is oneself ultimately become Buddha. So from the Buddhist viewpoint, our final destination is Buddhahood. The seed of Buddha, the subtle mind, which the very nature absence of independent existence. So is it that very nature act basis of change? And that also the very, because of that very fact, very factor. To possibility of elimination all wrong view. So now, in order to achieve Buddhahood, firstly, we should achieve Sangha, Sangham Shanam Kachami. Now, what is the real sort of, what is the qualification of Sangha, become Sangha, is Dharma. That's all under the Lamding,
So, what qualifies someone as having attained the state of Sangha is the realization of the true Dharma within. And Dharma here is the truth of cessation, true cessation, and the path leading to the cessation. So the instance one has actualized the path within oneself, and then at that point one has become a Sangha.
Taya, under the Kinduce in the Zane, Lobe Kinduce, Buddha the Mulubi Kinduce, Taya. Tambe turned on Roy, Dimness and Yajin. Tuba Chi Pushinche, Sajan Tay, Turtu Chess. There is an Debusarania, Sanje Chirk in Dusungaro Yetich.
So, when we speak about the three jewels, and the Sangha here at the initial stage is the Sangha state is on the learner's stage, and then, of course, when you became fully enlightened, you become no more learners, you attain no more learners' stage. However, if we look at it from the point of view of resultant objects of refuge, the three jewels, then as Maitreya points out in his Sublime Continuum, Uttara Tantra, where in fact the Buddha himself can be seen as the embodiment of all the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha.
Yata. So from this level to Buddhahood, the way to Kasoda, what's the way of progress?
Progress.
That's the gati gati parangati parasangati buddhi saha. That's the way. So sometimes I jokingly say, telling people, gati gati parangati parasangati buddhi saha, also meaning of this physical sort of kasota life. Young child, then that's the
no.
Tama.
A teenage youngster.
Then the Taryue.
And then a prime of youth.
Then a Gawa.
Sorry, then a middle age and then old age.
So, Gadi, Paragati, Parasamgati. Buddhi Soha means death. In that case, our final destination is those cemeteries.
Cemeteries.
Oh, that's our final destination. So we already, I think, at the stage of perhaps my case, I think fourth already. Some of these young people, maybe third or second like that. So there's nothing valuable, nothing sacred. So therefore now, gade gade para gade para sangha buddhi saha must be this mind, the ordinary, present our mind. Although the desire, happiness, always there. Desire to overcome suffering, always there. But the seed of suffering within us. The old creator of this problem within us. So we have to eliminate these things. There is a possibility. Even with lifetime, I think if you seriously see the cause of the experiment, you gain some experience. So that gives us conviction. There is a possibility. Gati, gati, parangati, parasangabuddhi, so on mental level. It is possible. So, da lundi kongne kongdo dan royalia so de kasala wala shi da shilasundi things go yare.
So, so for this ordinary level of mind to move forward to a progressively higher state, as explained before, the most important elements that we need to cultivate are the practices of tranquil abiding, the union of tranquil abiding and special insight, shamatha and vipassana. So now we will read from book 3, the volume 3. So the third section of Lamrim Chemo opens with a salutation that I pay respectful homage at the feet of the venerable those venerable masters who are embodiments of great compassion. And then it opens by stating that the manner in which, the way in which one trains in the last two perfections is as follows. So, so earlier we were talking about how the training in the practices of the three higher trainings constitute the heart of the path to liberation. So within that context, the practice of cultivating karma abiding, tranquil abiding, and special insight belongs to the higher training in meditation and higher training in wisdom. And in the context, if we relate this to the context of a practitioner aspiring for attainment of Buddhahood, then the kind of the structure of the path is presented within the framework of six perfections. And in that framework, the cultivation of tranquil abiding and special insight belong to the last two perfections, perfection of concentration and perfection of wisdom. So this section, Tsongkhapa divides in the following broad outlines where he lists them as the following. One, the benefits of cultivating serenity and insight, how tranquil abiding and insight includes all states of meditative concentrations, and three, the nature of tranquil abiding and insight, and four, why is it necessary to cultivate both, and five, how to be certain about their sequence. So we will now read from the section that deals with the explanation of the method by which one trains in these two practices individually. So this is then divided into three sections. The method of training in the cultivation of tranquil abiding, the method of training in the cultivation of special insight, and how to unite the two. So when we talk about cultivating tranquil abiding and special insight, we need to understand actually what we were talking about is essentially cultivation of faculties that are naturally present within our mind. If we observe our states of mind within our cognitive experiences, we will see that there are, for example, within our mind, a certain quality of our mind which enable us to maintain our focus on a chosen object and allow us to retain that attention. And that aspect of our mind is the quality of concentration. And similarly, within our mind, naturally, we also possess the ability to differentiate and differentiate various characteristics of the chosen object. So that aspect of the quality of our mind is intelligence, the faculty of intelligence or wisdom. So when we are talking about practice of tranquil abiding and special insight, essentially what we are doing is to really develop those natural faculties that we have and perfect them.
So that the sim under the sim tiji with a ding in jing. The sim tiji with a chat which you have a taco. Taco, yeah, you get one slips and echo. So all chin. Taco kumji ten and it's all a ten, eh? Taco never such a short dash. So taco. Could do it, could do Zola, I never did. Then they do that. Did Zolia, Corre Cadu, Tanshi, Ten, Dings, Donia, Teda, Tessa, Maimbe, Yankee, Casual, Gagins, the Sayata, the Gagin, the Casual, Tarin, Donia, Gagin, Tarsinga, Tunjin, Truya, that Delia, she never saw them, said. That can be you never saw. That is so important.
So now, in the case of the first practice, which is Triangle Abiding, essentially, as explained before, what we are doing is to try to develop that natural faculty that we have, which enables us to retain our attention on a chosen object. So, what we are trying to do is to apply effort, and by applying effort to develop that faculty of our quality of our mind and cultivating familiarity with that process, and in this way one that quality of our mind becomes more and more developed and enhanced, because in this quality of our mind being part of the phenomena that belongs to conditioned domain, therefore it is a phenomena that is dependent upon, contingent upon its causes and conditions. So therefore, the more we cultivate the conditions that would give rise to it, the more effective and powerful that quality of the mind will become. So essentially, in the actual practice, what is required is to constant application of our faculty of mindfulness and faculty of awareness, or meta-awareness, samprajñana, shishin. And in addition to this, one also needs to remove the obstacles that come in the way of our cultivation of this, development of this faculty, and at the same time, create the right conditions, seek the right conditions that would enhance the development of that natural faculty. So these practices fall under the heading of what is called seeking the prerequisites, seeking the prerequisites for cultivating tranquil abiding.
Atomic Nyesanala, so that you so chosen Susha. Lobo Kamala Shile, Gumrim Nalia, Tunji Tso Chusumri, that's what the Dune Sumri, and that's Sandy. Send down the Dilamishim Kodulia, then under Nyese, and the Tunji Chusum Sumbe Nalia, Chusu Chusum Sumbe Nala, then a Sagi Church about the Minio and Nazar of Sambata, Ombu Kotamba Saturday, that is the Jerry Lemuan Italia, Tunsum Nazar Yamin, the Tunsuan.
So with respect to the prerequisites that one must seek cultivate tranquil abiding, in such as seeking a place of solitude, having the favorable conditions at easy disposal, easy access, and so on. In Asanga's Sharavaka Bhumi, the levels of the disciple, he lists 13 such prerequisites for the cultivation of tranquil abiding. However, in Kamala Shila, these 13 prerequisites are summarized and presented in the list of six prerequisites. In Tsongkhapa's Lamrim Chemo, when he talks about the prerequisites for cultivating tranquil abiding, he cites from Asanga's text. Asanga's text list includes those four practices which Tsongkhapa has already described in Lamrim Chemo in the context of post-meditational period practices such as maintaining a healthy kind of appropriate eating habit, food habit, and you know, relation to one's sleeping patterns, and guarding one's doors of the senses, and you know, acting in the world with a greater sense of awareness. These were already explained in the section dealing with the practices of the after session periods.
Tajne Tusot Yingan Dani, Shine Kombe Surini, Jod Mushi. Seneta Tant Mushila, Luigi Jalam Chindel Commando, Kombe Nishamas. Tad Luigi Jalam, Tadi, Sim Sejibur Caso Tuvin Zane, Luig Nadan de Joshare, Conchi Luma Chitan Edevesoro. Chipaga, Utani, Nabanas Chigains. Tan the denied of the year, Gamba Jim Jong. Ta, Chitir Cheva in it, Tan Jungas Luzana Sichene, and Jericasheta, Gamba Jim Steosona, Casosone, Yanko Matecha, the Induta, Samu Dunach and the Kujaka, the Majuska Aita. Tan Rodan Chevina, Gamba Tosichito, Lakwa Yamsha.
I think he dropped something quite big.
Na kangwal la ba keba keba te keba to keba da da sang cha le. Gezin da da sang. Kangwal la ba keba so. So chu. Jeno dan be shi sa de. So. Ko jeng bo le sha. So, Jambe sort of cherry in a chima masaya. Any Jessican legend is an oak, shook toss my jabber sort of cherry, curry, come back here. Carry over it. Oh, come on, love, give Susan of Dumbishi. Now, then go to them, go. Make that dinner not the purpose of that. Joshua Sujin, no good shadow. Sazan Kyungi, Kalemere, Nogulina, Nogulina, Mignazi Pogosuna, Mignaz Tanya, Sazanga, Yanko Tadarson, doing to Stana, Mignazi Po. Because Vietnamese concentrate. This is some of the Vietnamese or Chinese and Tibetan also, I think, small nose, and then difficult to look at the tip of the nose. Chenida go mikche chakwa rungulsha gumi chakwa ukta ukwa bachanda se unga bachanda tsumishya keta poti kyabode namanase cheke.
So Tsongkhapa then explains the actual practice of cultivating tranquil abiding in the two main outlines, he says how to cultivate serenity as on that basis, which is divided into two, which is preparation and the actual practice. And in the section on the preparation, he explains how to develop the meditative posture and the actual meditative process. So the first outline deals with the need to adopt an appropriate physical posture. And since in the practice of tranquil abiding, our main aim is to develop and cultivate and enhance our single-pointedness of our mind. Therefore, the physical posture really has a big impact. So for example, if you try to do the practice by lying down instead of sitting upright, then the fact of lying down tends to bring your mind to a much more relaxed kind of, you know, lazy state. So therefore, it's better to keep your body upright. And traditionally, when explaining the appropriate posture for meditation, one speaks of the sevenfold posture of Vairochana. And sometimes when you add the respiration process, we call it eightfold posture of Vairochana. So these seven are and deals with the posture of your legs, and the legs can be either completely cross-legged or half cross-legged as you normally would sit. And in any case, you need to adopt a posture that is for your legs that is not, does not put too much strain on your knees. Otherwise, you know, you will lose your focus. So that is the one. And then your hand posture, you can put, you know, perform the meditation gesture with your left palm underneath and placing your right palm on top of it. And if you relate it to the posture according to the Vajrayana practice, then the preferred position is to have your two thumbs touching each other so that it forms a triangular shape there. So that's how and your two arms should not be kind of, you know, touching your kind of, you know, body, but rather kept slightly outstretched, so that also next to your also you have between your two arms there forms a natural triangular shape. And then the next is your spine, and the spine should be kept straight. And the text describes the kind of posture as that your spine should be straight as an arrow. And then the next one is your teeth, but you should keep it in a natural state. Don't grit your teeth, but rather keep them natural. And if you don't happen to have teeth, then you have no choice anyway. And then for your lips, again, you should keep them in a natural posture. And in fact, those who do not have teeth, you know, their lips look quite impressive because they're kind of slightly stretched. And then the next is your eyes. And the text says that we should keep our eyes slightly downcast, focused up on the at the level of the tip of our nose. So if you have a large the tongue should be so you keep your lips in the natural position. Don't force any posture on them. And then next is the tongue. The recommendation is to keep it slightly curled so that you touch the upper palate of your the roof of your upper palate, and the advantage of that is that for example, if you happen to really enter deeply into a meditative state, then this posture will protect you from having saliva drooping down. And also because of that, the position of the tongue, it has a natural effect on making your breathing less forceful, so that also has a benefit of ensuring that your mouth doesn't get unnecessarily dry. So those are the reasons why you keep your tongue in that position. And next is the position of the eyes. So you keep them slightly downcast and, you know, glancing at the point of the tip of your nose. And if you happen to have a large nose, rather like Joshua Cutler, then then you wouldn't have a problem because you can see the tip of your nose quite easily. But if you are like the Asians, like Vietnamese or Chinese or Tibetans, then you would have a rather flat nose. Then you shouldn't really try hard to see the tip of your nose, because that is going to cause so much strain on your eyes. So basically keep it kind of slightly downcast. And then next is and your the position of your head. Again, slightly bent.
Close eye or open eye. It's just natural.
So, as to the position of your eyes, as much as possible, you should keep it in their natural position, slightly downcast, and you know, not deliberately close them. Because if you close them and do your meditation, and then the moment you open your eyes, and then your meditation gets disturbed. And in fact, since meditative state is being cultivated at the level of the mental consciousness, not at the level of the sensory experience, so therefore, you know, when you meditate with your eyes slightly open and you know, kept in the natural state, once in a while, naturally it will close. But then that's okay, but keep it kind of natural, and if you learn that habit, then the idea, because the meditation is taking place at the level of mental consciousness, after a while, you know, because of being in that state, whatever happens to be in front of your in the field of your vision. Will not affect you because, you know, you become, in a sense, kind of oblivious to the sensory stimuli. Rather, you'll be able to maintain and still remain in that meditative state. So, in other words, don't try to keep it closed. Just keep it naturally. And, you know, when you occasionally close, that's fine, but keep it natural. And then the position, next is the position of the head. Slightly bent, and then finally you have the position of the shoulders, and keep them slightly, again natural, but slightly extended. And then finally the position is the breathing process. Again, the breathing should not be too harsh or too slow, but rather again in a natural pace.
At the end,
So on page 31, Tsongkhapa actually describes what kind of pace of breathing that you should avoid in the context of triangular abiding meditation. And he writes in the second para, your inhalation and exhalation should not be noisy, so that when you breathe there is a lot of noise, or forced, so that you are breathing too deeply, as if it's coming out of your abdomen, or uneven. So, you know, it, in other words, he says, let it flow effortlessly, ever so gently, without any sense that you are moving it here or there.
다요 저기 엄격히 그돌이에요 엄격하라 가소리 야 그것도 그냥 슉 담반 맨다면 다치니 맨은 퉁고 그냥 저기 꼼백하 돌이야 민시 참투다 민시 이케네 도스다 등도와 다요 조신 그 꼼백하 돌이야 민시 도스다 도스다 대하로 다 안다디 지단 지금부터 하네 다 민시 도스다 돌다 대하로
So however one must bear in mind that in different instructions on meditation, slightly the positions will differ. For example, particularly the eye position. Here, Tsongkhapa is describing the posture of the eyes in the context of general meditation practice of cultivating tranquil abiding. But in other contexts, for example, in the Kalachakra Tantra, then the posture of the eyes are recommended to be kept really looking upwards. And then keeping your eyes open and looking upwards. Whereas in Dzogchen meditation, you look straight in front of you. So depending upon the context, the instructions on some of the postures will differ.
That is not very good. That Things you can give it to the television, the Sunday give it to me. Thank you. Tatambo, send me well a devil, what is the show? Me well a devil, two to the show. Me well a devil, what is the show?
So then the second outline, the actual meditative process, is described in the following headings. Tsongkhapa explains them. How to develop flawless concentration, and what to do while focusing. Who should meditate on which objects? Synonyms of the objects of meditation, object of meditation, and so on. So within the first outline, he explains this: what to do prior to focusing the attention on the object of meditation, what to do while focusing on the object, and what to do after having focused one's attention to the object.
Ini lelo, ini tamat cewa, mizin cewa. Tenen cingu ni cikcu cewa. Tenen cingu, cuma cewa ni mudah mizibat cikcu cewa, dia cikcu cewa. Tapi cingu macam apa? Tapi sebenarnya kaya, tuah. Cingu macam, tapi sebenarnya kalau cingu macam macam ni, sempat tinggi je. Kami yang berkhidulia, yang cikcu awak cina, yang kau dia ni, ni tu sana, tuju tangan. 다 공부야. 이 순간에 말해. 그래서 네번 갔지. 네번 갔보면 년부터지 개세. 다데 당보 레로 년부인 가서 레로 개진이 되잖아. 디세야리야. 대바다, 눈바다, 소화, 신장, 디시부디 레로 년부. 다시 간단한데 신장이다. 그래 연대. 신장 탐나 루심 아니 가서 우리 그게 찌들 쬐셔가지 랑 대받는 신기 다 루심 니부터 걸어서 차비하래 자 드네이 뭐 인도산에 드네네보다 팬유다 다디 지난 통으로 들어왔다 다 안다 끊지 아 되게 쉬워는 지시네 가득가득 빨아가득 빨아서 우리 모두 좋았어 다 디 다시네 매나 여야 매듭이 시 차트로 인도자네 디디 시에 다네 디디 시에 다 디시에베 타네 띵지게 연대 타네 다 대화 대화 때네 대회 정배 눈바 대회 대화 때네 좋아 뭐 디디게 내리는 거지 그러지
So in the actual explanation of how to cultivate the flawless concentration, Tsongkhapa proceeds with a citation from Maitreya's differentiation of discrimination of the middle and the extreme. In this text, Maitreya speaks of five flaws of meditation and the eight antidotes against these faults. And the five faults are listed as a form of laziness or indolence, and forgetting of the object, and mental excitement as excitation, and mental laxity as counted as one. And the fourth is failing to apply the antidotes when mental excitation or mental laxity arises. And then the fifth one, fifth obstacle or fault is excessive application of exertion. So especially at more advanced levels, when the quality of the mental stability is very firm, then in those moments, in those stages, then application of effort, in fact, becomes counterproductive. So therefore, one needs to maintain a state of equanimity. So inappropriate application of effort or exertion is also a fault. So corresponding to these five faults, eight antidotes are identified. So in relation to the first fault, which is laziness or indolence, Asanga lists four antidotes. These are faith or confidence, and aspiration, and effort, pliancy. And the faith here refers to a feeling of trust in the quality and benefits based upon the awareness of the benefits of meditative stabilization. And particularly by reflecting upon the benefits of which is the mental, physical and mental suppleness. Because when you attain meditative stabilization, it gives you physical and mental pliancy that enables you to make your body and mind serviceable. And also when you can apply your body and mind at your will. So these are, of course, benefits of concentration, which is common to both Buddhist and non-Buddhist practitioners. So since here, in this Lamrim context, we are cultivating tranquil abiding with the ultimate aim of applying it to our understanding of the ultimate nature of reality, because without tranquil abiding, vipassana, the special insight, cannot arise. So we recognize that the special benefits of having gained tranquil abiding. So by reflecting upon these qualities, then you develop a kind of a deep trust in the efficacy and in the benefits of meditative concentration. So this is what is meant by faith or trust. Second is, based on that trust or faith, then what the interest, aspiration to cultivate that state arises in you. And then on the basis of the aspiration and interest brought forth by this confidence and trust, then a willingness to apply the effort will arise. So in this way, the problem of the fault of laziness or indolence is overcome. So with relation to the second fault, which is the forgetfulness of the object of meditation, the main antidote here is the cultivation of mindfulness.
That
And corresponding to the third fault, which is the mental excitation and mental laxity, when they arises, the antidote that needs to be applied is meta-awareness, awareness or meta-awareness, samprajñana.
근데 징규 중에서 냠도 미치비 냠벌이야. 다 삼바. 그 냠보야 때나 뒤셔. 징규 뭐 중에서 딴 냠도 제발이야. 경이 비도 자네 고생 그냥 나서 초용해지. 저기 비도 자네. 아 가서 도 제발 경이도 자네 딱 뒤 냠벌이야. 두시 땅 냠대야.
So with respect to the fourth fault, which is the you know, failure to apply the necessary antidotes when excitation and laxity arises, the antidote to that is the cultivation of the intention to apply it. And the fifth fault, which is the inappropriate application of exertion or effort, and here, because in some context, the application of effort is counterproductive because it could undermine the quality and stability of the meditative state. Therefore, here the counterforce is cultivating an equanimity.
Ah, yeah. That's the name. The other, well, that's the name. The other, 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 기타 미고 무슨 왔다라 다 대한다 좀 전에 옛날에 미고 시숭데스 캡에 미고지 잡아 넘어 죽음 미고지 캡에 미고지 너무 넘어 죽음 미고지 미고 시숭이 말이 지신에게 미고래야 지변에 치 띄우드 다 디신으로 된 미고 제초야 아래 다가는 신 난게지 다
Then Tsongkhapa explains the next outline, which is what to do at the moment when you are focusing your mind on the object of attention. And this is explained in terms of two subheadings. First, identifying the object of meditation, and the second, how to apply one's attention to those objects. So in the context of identifying the appropriate object of one's concentration, generally in the text, in general, one can choose for one's object of meditation any external or internal you know, phenomena. For example, one can choose just a pebble or a twig or a stick as an object of meditation to cultivate single-pointedness. Similarly, one can choose an internal mental state such as an experience of a feeling as an object of meditation and cultivate single-pointedness on that basis. For example, if you look at the teaching on the four foundations of mindfulness, a foundation of mindfulness on body, on feeling, or on feeling, on mind, and on mental objects, you can see that these meditations include both external and internal objects as the object of one's meditation. However, when the meditation object is explained in general, four main types of objects are identified. One is referred to as the pervasive object, and second is object that is appropriate to the experience or emotional temperament of the individual practitioners. So here the point is that due to whatever factors, past or present, individuals may have different temperaments, emotional kind of styles, and whatever emotion type may be more dominant than individual person, and corresponding to that, one needs to choose objects that will be more effective. So that's the second type of object. The third type of object is referred to as the object of the wise or the learned. And here it includes those fields of knowledge, with relation to which one is cultivating an understanding. So you choose these objects, including enumerations of lists and stuff, and then cultivate single-pointedness in relation to them. And the fourth is a specific object you choose in order to kind of diminish the afflictions. So these are the four main types of or classes of objects that are identified.
Yeah. 숙침을 일로 세점 직점 영점지 로를 치르면 누가 로 그러진 것도 주로 인해 양은 치료가 속도로 써와 양은 난게 지금 뒤두근 영어 되는지 지금 나발이 하고 샷해야 지금 자 되는지 그때 나발 하고 샷해야 지금 차 뒤두 전에 그 치던 난게 나발 태단 태 생긴 거 어디 들대로 써주도와 자 드리 인도 다 대외 지가 서울 그게 참바 드리긴 남도 되게 바까 기름 뭐 주시 마음발 중주기 지게야 남도 담는데 또 수야 되게 바까 다 다다 지게 다 로커라 산이 지금 수만 맞춰봐 샤샤지 디지털에 합득하려야 남규달로 친한 게지 가수레베 유진되겠다 그 나발을 쓰고 샤르트르잖아 디바세 슈데 즉 똥벌을 샤지 디 똥니께서 말해 다디 디른 도스바 내처럴 더 진도 땅토나 영수진에 세점 직점 명점지 먼저 쳐야지 다 대충서는 최신 가서다 심기정신 시다 심기 진입의정신 심기 군소의정신 진입을 서울에 심기 군소의정신 뒤 아니 뭔가 손이 빠래 나 뒷미기진 시안이 내가 그렇지 뒤에 있던 게 주님 잡으면 다시 다 걸어라 다 심 제시도 믿고 쉬어야 다 심리고 신의 좀 다 들으시오
So then Tsongkhapa explains identifies the particular object that is relevant to our present context. And here, generally speaking, when we are talking about an appropriate object that we choose for our meditation of triangular abiding or shamatha, one can choose, as explained before, something, an external object, a material object, or one can also choose internal phenomena.
실로그 믹딘 체스잖아요. 믹딘 디기 넘버 1 샷을 때 들다 믹딘 숭년 사이즈도 하다 들죠.
So even when we use take an external object to be our object of meditation what we are focusing upon is not the physical thing itself but rather the image of the physical thing that we create in our mind and that becomes the object of our concentration. One can also choose an internal phenomenon, a phenomena such as one's channels, drops, and the energies that flow within the channels and so on. And also a kind of a more profound object that one can choose for one's meditation on tranquil abiding is one's own mind. And more than, kind of more profound than that is choosing emptiness as one's object of meditation for tranquil abiding. So when we choose emptiness as the object of one's meditation on tranquil abiding, this already presupposes that you have a realized emptiness. And so this practitioner would have already gone through a process of analysis and have discerned realized emptiness on the, through this process and have already attained the correct view of emptiness. And then, you know, having experienced emptiness, one takes emptiness as the object of one's meditation and then cultivates a single-pointedness in relation to this. And this is a process, what is referred to as a seeking meditation on the basis of the view, seeking meditation on the basis of a view. And this kind of approach is really possible only for a handful, few, whose mental faculties are really advanced. But the approach presented in the Lamrim Chemo here is really seeking the view on the basis of meditation. So here, the practitioners try to cultivate tranquil abiding first, and then on the basis of tranquil abiding, then one begins to apply analysis and gain realization of emptiness. So this is the general procedure here. And So, however, if you choose your own mind as the object of your meditation on tranquil abiding, then this approach is common in the approach of the Mahamudra training practices, the Great Seal, and the Great Perfection Dzogchen practices, where meditation on single-pointedness on mind is the main focus in cultivating tranquil abiding. So if we do that within the context of a path that is common to Sutra and Tantra, then we do not make distinctions about the various levels of subtlety of consciousness. But if we bring in the highest yoga Tantra perspective, then one can also differentiate the different levels of subtlety of consciousness and choose a more subtle level of consciousness as the object of meditation on tranquil abiding. And so, however, the problem is, in order to do this... So here also we need to take into account different understanding of what is meant by meditation and how they differ with relation to the object and how that object figures in that meditation. For example, when you meditate on impermanence or no self, then you are taking impermanence and no self as the object of your meditation. They become the content of your meditation. Whereas if you meditate on compassion or loving kindness or a faith, devotion, then you are not taking a faith, devotion or compassion as the object of your meditation, but rather you are cultivating your own mind in that state. So similarly, when you do meditation on mind, nature of mind, particularly at this subtle level where clear light becomes the main object of your meditation, here in fact you are trying to cultivate your mind in the state of clear light. So this is a different kind of a role the object plays. And however, when you are focusing on the mind, then mind becomes the object of your meditation. However, in order to do this, first of all, you need to
identify...
So when we say, your mind should focus upon the mind, we should not have the impression that we are talking about a single instance of mind somehow looking at itself, because that would mean self-cognition. What we are talking about is a process that is happening at a very minute temporal frame. So, for example, one can see that the immediately latter instance of the mental state is focusing upon the immediately preceding instance. So the problem is, in order to do this kind of meditation where you take mind as the object of your tranquil abiding, first of all, you need to identify the object and you need to have some understanding of what mind is. And the problem is, in our normal day-to-day experience, our mind is so dominated either by external stimuli or internal sensations. So either our mind is just directed totally outwards and takes on the form of whatever objects come in our way in the field of our experience, or our mind, we experience our mind in the form of internal sensations. So, and caught in this kind of way of experience the mind, it feels as if the actual nature of the mind itself gets somehow obscured, either by the perceptions of the external world or the sensations of the internal experiences. So the essential nature of the mind, which is this mere knowing and subjective experience, this quality somehow gets obscured. So in order to overcome this, one needs to find a way of somehow capturing this essential quality of the mind, which is mere luminosity and knowing. And to do this, one needs to meditate, which would involve somehow ensuring that your focus is not kind of, you know, hijacked by certain recollections of past experiences, nor by thoughts projecting into the future with some kind of anticipation or hope and so on. And we need to so prevent the mind looking backwards and prevent the mind looking forward into the future and somehow maintain in the present moment. And the problem is because our mind is so dominated by this kind of looking backwards and, you know, forwards, when you try to prevent those kind of processes and when you experience the mere present, one feels as if one experiences a kind of a emptiness. Now, this is, of course, not the emptiness in the philosophical sense. This is a mere absence. And initially, it may be just a fleeting experience, but as you habituate, as you familiarize in this practice, one will be able to stretch that period of time during which you've experienced this absence. So in this way, so when we say identify the mind as the object of your meditation, we're not talking in the intellectual sense, we're talking in an experiential sense. So through this meditation, you will be able to experience a sense of mind in the form of this absence. And then gradually, the essential quality of the mind on the conventional level, which is this mere luminosity and knowing, will become more and more obvious. And once you have that, then you then take that as the object of your meditation and cultivate shamatha or tranquil abiding on that basis. So here in Lama Tsongkhapa's text, Lama Chemo, he recommends taking the image of the Buddha as our object of meditation on tranquil abiding. Of course, partly it is easier, and partly also it has a very special significance for the Buddhist practitioners. So given this, for other practitioners of other religious traditions, they can choose an object that will have a special significance to their own practice, such as image of the Jesus Christ or maybe even a cross.
No, I'm wondering, Islam practitioner, what kind of image? Mecca? I don't know.
Calligraphy.
Yigdi. What? Allah. Yigdi. It looks like an anagram.
So if we choose the image of the Buddha as object of our meditation of tranquil abiding, then Earlier, Professor Thamar was suggesting that in the case of Muslim practitioners, maybe they can use the calligraphy, the letters and the name of Allah. If we choose the image of the Buddha as the object of meditation, it is beneficial to choose a slightly smallish size, because the smaller size of the image can have the effect of making your mind more alert. And then also, as much as possible, imagine this image to be quite bright, like a light. And the more bright and quality of light that you bring in, it will have the effect of ensuring that your mind does not sink into a form of mental laxity. And also, you should try to imagine this image to be rather heavy, kind of. So this kind of weight, by imagining this image to be kind of rather weighty, will have the effect of protecting you from the arising of mental scattering and mental excitation.
That imagine, Joshua. That imagine tell. That was sharp and good. Tangela, Tembe, Mijin, Turi, Sunday, Mijin, Lone, Kennepa, Malabshe. That Digalia, that Mijin Malayati, Tembe, Sun. That Mijin Digal, Ned, it is an eh, Sim Ching, Russia. Do you think that you are a good person? What the name is, and that's in Guinea Bocadis, Sempang, Chimoyu is an Sempang Tortang, who you are. Gabayu is an Togu is an Sempang Martang, who are. Other day, Sempang Tortoyati, Chigare, Chigmiko Yiri Sevina, the Taco, because Sempang Matan, Chime, Gun Lay, Dizane. Mikde malabe tane, simple sujine, yanjita, lolia, donalea, chanju sunk a pain sorrow, chick donigata pain sorrow, that the little bit of some tamarina, loya, chickta, any down is tanjo, the day are some time you do, lo donaria lay you do, lo pang torto. That does in chimosiva. That togo your begadola, some pang totabe gang in the zane, yan sim nang to doya. 탑실이야. 자, 지금 미다와 삼다로. 지금 다가는 신 누지기 등의 삼다서로. 내도 삼다나. 양고 방말로 해야지. 다도 쓰자.
So having chosen the appropriate object for your meditation on tranquil abiding, then in the actual practice, when you are cultivating single-pointedness of mind, one needs to apply and maintain mindfulness in a very undistracted manner. So the maintenance and application of mindfulness is really the key. So and it is the mindfulness that will ensure that you do not lose your attention from the object that you have chosen, your object of your focus. And whether or not you lose your object, your attention from the object of your meditation, as a result of arising of distraction or mental laxity, and that role needs to be is performed by application of the faculty of metta awareness, awareness that monitors whether excitation or mental laxity has arisen. So it's the mindfulness that ensures that your attention is retained on the chosen object, and it is metta awareness that monitors whether or not you have lost your object. And when so the two main obstacles are really mental excitation and laxity. So the excitation, mental excitement, really belongs to the family of attachment, and this tends to be more easily occurring in us because of our long habituation to things that attract us. So mental excitation is a problem that will arise much more easily. And so, and of course, the effect of the arising of mental excitation is to distract our mind. And so when mental excitation arises, and then it is an indication that your state of mind is too uplifted. So one needs to find a way of dampening it down. And so the main counter kind of antidote against this is to find a method that would bring the state of your mind to a slightly more dampened state. And here, meditating upon impermanence or a recollection of your understanding of the suffering of conditioning, conditioned existence, these things can be very effective because it will immediately have the effect of dampening your mind so that it's brought down to a more kind of less uplifted state of mind. When mental sinking arises, and this is a state of mind where although you may have not lost your object, but there is no alertness, so the mind is kind of slightly in a relaxed, laxed state of mind. So when that happens, the reason why that happens is because your mind is not lifted enough. Your mind is in a very downcast state. So, and the antidote against this is to apply a method that would bring the level of your mind to a more uplifted state. And to do this, one can reflect upon the benefits of cultivating bodhicitta, awakening mind. One can reflect upon the benefits of the wisdom of emptiness or the correct view. And one can also contemplate upon the preciousness of the human existence and the opportunity it accords us. So by reflecting upon these facts, you can create a sense of joy in you, and this joy will uplift your state of mind so that in that way one will be able to overcome the problem of mental laxity. So in this way, one needs to apply the antidotes when either of these two obstacles arise in the mind.
那我们来打五百里啊，本身的美国男性的差不多也蛮不差，也还是其实美国来讲到差，是蛮多。五种，家乡上当的，也得要多啊。五种，五苦不，家乡上当些。五种，大家家乡都，说了这些台湾人，啊，每天其他个哪个也蛮的，其他个差不多也蛮的吧。这样会有说说啊。
So for many of us who are on the beginner stage, then choosing the breathing process as the object of our meditation may be actually very beneficial, because the advantage of this is that it's not as subtle as choosing mind as the object of meditation, nor is it too gross as choosing an external material object as our object. So by choosing simply our breathing process and, you know, applying our, you know, directing our focus and attention simply on the breathing process itself can be a very effective way of doing this shamatha meditation.
But
So for example, one can choose the breathing process, the inhalation and exhalation as the object of one's meditation, and then place one's mind, you know, one's awareness simply on that, and you know, maintain the focus for 100 rounds or 1,000 rounds of the breathing.
那我是不是得开始给运动的呀？动它就是那种在这里什么那些的休息、吃住、睡的速度。
Some of my acquaintances who meditators, they told me that when they choose their breathing and breath as the object of meditation and maintain their awareness simply upon the breathing for up to 100 rounds or 1,000 rounds, then the mind becomes really settled.
那个熊子那里啊，光没些吞食呢，光没些功力啊，那呢，龙如山啊，龙如古如山啊，这里用多啊。就是俺们能去，就是吃土豆呗，搞成这里，然后土豆呗，趁大地把营养吃些了，我中央中上大地呗呢，他这个吃土豆呗，就叫我告诉这个，俺吃着吧，我恐怕俺家等着吃不了了。
So, also in the Vajrayana practices, meditation practices, breathing exercises are described as a preliminary stage before going into the actual Vajrayana sadhana practice. And so these breathing practices involve 9 rounds of breathing and so it seems the breathing meditation is very effective, particularly for us, even in our day-to-day life. When we find our mind in a disturbed state or agitated or irritated state, simply by, you know, drawing our attention to our breath and doing a breathing and focusing on that has an immediate effect of bringing down this level of disturbance that has been caused by the earlier emotions or states of mind. So of course, that type of breathing exercises is more like taking a respite, a temporary kind of relief. It's not that effective, but it's more of a taking a rest. So, for example, in responding to adversity or some difficulties, breathing exercises may provide a temporary relief, but it is only a rest from that dealing with that problem. The more effective, of course, lasting approach is to reflect upon dependent origination, interdependence of things, reflecting upon their impermanence, and also cultivating the wisdom of emptiness, and reflecting deeply upon the benefits of bodhicitta, awakening mind, and so on. These will, of course, be much more effective and powerful practices. So as to the number of sessions and the length of sessions, there is no fixed number. So here, for the beginners, generally it is recommended to keep the sessions short, but have more frequency. So it's better to have shorter sessions, but more in number. And so as you progress and advance in your practice, then while retaining the quality that you are able to bring when you do these short sessions, so while retaining the quality, then you can gradually increase the length of the session. So that's a better approach.
That
So by on that basis, by adopting the right length of the session and applying the actual practices as described in formal sitting, then one progressively will go through the attainment of the 9 stages of mental development, and culminating in the attainment of triangular abiding shamatha, which is characterized by the attainment of physical and mental suppleness or pliancy. And once you have that quality of mental pliancy and have attained triangular abiding shamatha, then on that basis, one is able to then cultivate vipassana, special insight. And in the Lamrim, in this particular section, goes on to explain how a kind of a mundane type of vipassana can be cultivated on the basis of triangular abiding. So with that, the explanation on the section of Lamrim Chemo dealing with the cultivation of triangular abiding is completed. So the next main outline is the method by which one cultivates special insight in relation to suchness, the reality.
시라가 나바전지 다 신의 톱니 시라가 나바전지 남 컨디시 고바 이나야 데 다둠 준비 뉴모데 랴 토도르시 도민도스 디슈중 당 도민도 팀에버서 도민도 근데 인도자네 단진 테이켄베 뉴모 아 리시 뉴조와 다스마 슈충시베 이나야 얀켄데 챤 뉴모데 게임고레스 카르스 먹고 사는 방요 말바스 Tā lhākṣu sāni, pēcchum tīndi yūnzī jīmī gīyānsi, sāni wātā tī pēl sōngi mārī, lhākṣu jīndi, tīngzīn dhīrgūṁ shīnūsī.
So, in the opening section of Tsongkhapa's presentation of Special Insight, which is on page 107, I think it's chapter 7 of the book, he cites from Samadhi Raja Sutra, King of Meditation Sutra, where Buddha states the following: although worldly persons cultivate concentration, they do not destroy the notion of self. The point is being made in this sutra citation is that although people who attain a triangle abiding, and on that basis cultivate a special insight that involve comparing the characteristics of the states of desire realm and higher realms, and on that basis cultivate attainment of the form and formless states. Although they have attained and heightened states of mind, but because the focus here is more on the characteristics of the different realms. Therefore, so far as the grasping at one's own self is concerned, these meditations leave the grasping at self totally intact and untouched. And because of this, the grasping remains in them. And so long as the self-grasping remains in the individual, then as Dharmakirti points out in his Pramanavartika, Exposition of Valid Cognition, where he says, where there is self, then there is the notion of the other. And on the differentiation of self and other, then attachment and aversion arises, which then give rise to a whole host of problems. Similarly, from our own personal experience, we can attest to what Chandrakirti states in his Entering the Middle Way, when he says that first we grasp at the notion of I am, self, and then from there we grasp at things as mine. So we know that when there is a strong grasping at self, then the grasping at things that belong to you, things that are related to you, including your own friends and families, and the stronger the grasping is, the stronger it leads to attachment, aversion, and so on. And in fact, one thing that is common, one insight that is common to all the Buddhist schools is the recognition that it is the grasping at self that lies at the root of the afflictive mental states such as attachment and aversion. So it is grasping at the self that give rise to these afflictions. That insight is common to all schools of Buddhism. So because the meditation on triangle abiding and mundane vipassana based upon it do not touch and do not undermine this grasping at self, so even the person who has attained such advanced state is vulnerable to the arising of these afflictions. So therefore, the sutra says that afflictions return and disturb them. So the point being made here is that although in those heightened meditative states, gross levels of afflictions may have been temporarily diminished, but because their seeds of these afflictions have not been removed, eliminated. Therefore, when the conditions arises, then these afflictions will resurface. And then the sutra gives the example, as they did with Udraka, who cultivated concentration in this way. So Udraka was historically one of the earlier teachers of the Buddha. So Buddha is giving Udraka as an example of this.
다치지디 아니 되는 양한데도 리뷰스 전에 캐디 다 캐디 쳐라스다 캐디 다다 다 강동도 시 풍속체 야나 아 롱저버도 다다 롱저제 풍속체 다 녀얼레버보다 녀얼렘바 아니 풍속체 디 선배 최저 담자로 아니 롤 나오는 시 다 Any doubts about the point, doubts about the new grace. Remain beggy, doubts about the simply shit, the shumab in the sun, and remain beggy, the one dead hurry, tenning young and dead, devil do so in break. Tawana, Dami going when young the top of Shindu, and a top shanship, yeah, Gombe, Dami top of Ayus Lavna, Dami top of Ayus Lavna, Tower Tower, go never. When you were submitted to the Ayus Lavina, the mess. As a Dushan Kainting, Shilmin Jules, Chamba the Ninja Sova, Tabatoyagi, Tabatojim of Gomatoyagi, do in the desert, the Tabatojim of Gomatoyagi, ready in a thousand Zimbatella, connection of the song of Induzane, the point Yamuchetu Mares, so him.
In continuing the citation from the sutra, in the latter section, Tsongkhapa cites on page 108 another quotation from the same sutra when he cites the following. If you analytically discern the lack of self in phenomena, and if you cultivate that analysis in meditation...
The
citation goes, and this will cause the result attainment of nirvana. So what the sutra is stating is that if in the in contrast, the person is able to discern the lack of self in all phenomena by means of critical analysis that discriminates into the characteristics of phenomena, then and particularly lack of selfhood in the sense of all phenomena being devoid of existence in their own right, by means of an inherent nature, then, and as one cultivates the familiarity of that understanding and develops a deep sense of ascertainment and conviction and internalize that understanding within oneself, then one will be able to recognize all phenomena in the light of an illusion-like quality. And so when that happens, this insight will undermine the grasping at self. And since the grasping at self, which is the deluded mental state, is not an inseparable essential quality of the mind itself, then as a result of gaining insight into the nature of mind, grasping at this deluded state of mind can be removed. And in this way, the pollutants of the mind will be eliminated, and in this way, this will lead to the attainment of nirvana. So the sutra states that this will cause the result, attainment of nirvana. And then the question arises, are there any other gateways or doors to liberation other than the realization of no self? Whether there is an alternative second door or a third door. And then here the Buddha states that there is no peace or there is no tranquility through any other means. And here, as Dharmakirti points out in his Pramanavartika, a valid exposition of valid cognition, that given that loving kindness and so on do not directly counteract, oppose ignorance, they cannot eliminate ignorance. So here, the sutra is also stating that although cultivation of loving kindness and so on are conditions necessary to attain Buddhahood, but because they do not directly oppose or counteract the perspective of self-grasping, they cannot be the antidote powerful enough to eliminate them. It is only the realization of no self that is the antidote that will eliminate the grasping.
Mm. Yeah. 다잖아 검제 다 검제 미고 대코나니 디니 내가 다 땡을 보면 태상게 쉐브스 고레스.
So then the actual
다들 상동 주소 현다 이 다리야 실라니 주소 이 다 송사송.
So then the actual section on how to train one's mind in the cultivation of a special insight. This is explained in four broad outlines. First is seeking the prerequisites for cultivation of special insight. And second is the various kinds of divisions of special insight. And third is the actual method of meditating upon cultivating special insight. And fourth is the measure of having attained a special insight. So with respect to the first, which is the prerequisites for cultivating special insight, many of the prerequisites that are common to cultivating triangular abiding have already been explained. But here, since in order to cultivate special insight in relation to emptiness, which is what we are concerned about here, one needs to first of all cultivate the understanding of emptiness, which is the object with relation to which we are seeking the special insight. So one needs to cultivate, develop an understanding of emptiness, at least at the intellectual level. So this is one of the main prerequisites that one must cultivate, one must seek.
나보영조라고 양다 아니 디시지를 쓴 것이래야 아니 풍부한 쿨로 쿨쿠어 보내 가사고 선 송시를 시켜요. 다 디기 아니 에 풍불레 로스 쿠쿠어 보지 다 쿠르던다 풍부디 쿠르겐게 에 쿠어 보지 로스 예라케 지 예바다르지 송도가 자 할람데 풍불레 전신데 다 유로 유로서 시티고 과들을 유로서 다야 녹가식 날이야 아니 강산에 레유 풍부유 송샤 진짜 이해했다 아 다야 중거식 날이야 녹거식 날아 아니 치르메 생대바로 주고 인송대 아이어리 다야 녹거식에 아니 지난 니가로 아니 대바로메 생송샤야 진짜 이해했다 저는 이르자네 아니 좀 된데 니기다 깨나라 뒤지 캄다 뭐베 캐바도 뛰니 숭셰베다 숭다 맨다 먹고 여베 이르자네 다 디디 여시고 여래
So now with relation to the question of cultivating the understanding of ultimate nature of reality which is the focus of our practice here in general as explained before all the Buddhist schools share the adherence to upholding the four fundamental seals of Buddha Dharma, these being all conditioned phenomena are impermanent, all contaminated phenomena are in the nature of suffering, all phenomena are empty and devoid of selfhood, and nirvana is true peace. However, as to how the Buddha's teaching on no self or anatman is understood, there is a divergence of understanding among the Buddhist schools depending upon how one understands the teachings. So here, if you look at the Buddha's teachings, the Buddha's teachings reflect a recognition of the diversity among his followers in terms of mental dispositions, spiritual inclinations and philosophical inclinations and so on. So, corresponding to this, there is a diversity of teachings. For example, Nagarjuna, states in Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, where he acknowledges that sometimes the Buddha has said that things possess final existence, sometimes he has said things do not possess final existence and so on. And in fact, in the 70 stanzas, on emptiness, Nagarjuna explicitly states that when it comes to understanding the Buddha's way, this is a matter that is difficult to fully penetrate. So the point he is making is the need to understand and discriminate between what teachings of the Buddha can be taken at their literal face value or what teachings of the Buddha needs to be interpreted further. In other words, the need to differentiate between those that are interpretable and those that are definitive. So, for example, there are sutras by the Buddha, teachings by the Buddha, where he says that the five aggregates, the skandhas, are the burden, and the one who is carrying that burden is the carrier. So in this passage statement, Buddha explains as if, you know, over and above the five aggregates, there is a carrier that is a person. So almost as if he's suggesting a reality of a self that is somehow independent of the five aggregates. Similarly, there are other sutras where Buddha states that a person does not exist, karma exists, and then the aggregates exist. So he makes these distinctions. And similarly, there are other sutras where he says that the external objects do not exist, but mind exists truly. And then, of course, you have sutras where the true existence is negated across the entire spectrum of phenomena, both internal and external. So,
배나 실은 이 문안이야. 풍문하고 대다 짱 러시 노래 한다고 해서 다우스.
So, for example, in the Heart Sutra, we read the following statement that even the five aggregates, even with respect to the five aggregates, one must view them as being devoid of inherent existence.
나는 시시징 슝나로 숭네 남긴지 파르기. 아, 양나 숭네 창조 소듬 파르. 양나 숭네 남긴지 파르기. 최 탐제 아니 뭐니 뭐지 봐. 대만의 시와 들숭도.
So also in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, starting from the category of form, the first of the five aggregates, up to the end of the 37th aspect of the path to enlightenment, which is the last of the Four Noble Truths, or starting from form to omniscient mind of the Buddha, in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, all of these are presented as having being devoid of intrinsic nature. They are primordially tranquil, calmed, and so on.
저들이 인도산에다 어 대신도 대학가리야 다 대학가이나 다시 신비 켜버치네 내등 감아도 정등이고 말했으니 다 진지성에 예열했다. 다 낭배다. 지나마와 배지 갈라다 장애인이 배지 말이 단 너드베 나래 리베지랑 너드베 배지 장애인 시험을 지금 해놓습니다 이제 다 최수주다야 배자자로 다시는 심으로 배지 미겨 제제 단지네 세상 와다 장애인 직다 장애인 뇌베지다 민주베지 대생이 이치 단 장애인 뇌베 나는 샤샤네 배는 너드 공지 좀 되게 니기게 하나가 애니 콜을 주고 숨치네 애니 콜 담았던 게 좀 있어 시간 콜 다 통마다 밥은 이부디 애니 되게 있어 가서 그냥 장전을 취소해야지 용도가 좀 전에 한 게 깨나리야 장전 치료 취소도가 그래서 다 지주체디 다 너를 안리야 지고 죽으나 애니 마대 자생이지 그래서 네 인도산에 다 죽을 때니 도건시 뇌댕기다 뇌댕소를 도건시기다 공든디 집에 짜나 집에 내가 매대버지 누구나 다 제 다시 좀 켜놔 저거지 아 집에 누구 또나 다시 좀 켜놔 나 먼저지 사들이 이루자네 너를 장애 채야지 다 집은 보시고 된 드라마도 매버리
So So given the diversity of teachings that we find in the Buddha's teaching, statements that we find in the Buddha's teaching, historically, and they evolved among the Buddhist schools different positions on whether or not, first of all, one can make such distinctions between definitive and non-definitive sutras. For example, the Vaibhashika school, on the whole, will reject that kind of differentiation and maintain the position that all the Buddha's statements are definitive. Within the Sotrantaka school, one branch of that school, those that follow primarily the pattern of reasoning, now that this is kind of guesswork again, I believe that they accept the principle of the need to differentiate between definitive and non-literal teachings in the Buddha's sutras. In any case, so there are two camps. One camps that do not make such differentiations and maintain all the Buddha's statements to be definitive. Another camp that accepts the need to differentiate between those sutras that are literal and definitive and those sutras that are not definitive. So, and even in the Buddha's own teachings, for example, in the Samdhinirmochana Sutra, Sutra Unraveling the Intent of the Buddha, there is a hermeneutics which explains the interpretation of the three turnings of the wheel of Dharma, where the first and the second are identified as being non-definitive, and then the third turning of the wheel of Dharma as being definitive. So the problem is, although the Buddha states that in his own sutra, but when it comes to making the determination which sutra is definitive and which sutra is not definitive, we cannot rely entirely on scripture. Because if we rely on scripture, then the whole kind of process, a project of making the differentiations become untenable. So the only way in which we can do this is by means of reasoning and analysis. So in short, any statements of a sutra that, you know, in the process of subjecting it to critical analysis, if it reveals to be not contradictory to reason, and then which can be supported by reason, that would be accepted as definitive. And those sutras which, when subjected to critical analysis, the statements prove to be untenable and contradictory to reason, then these will be accepted as non-definitive. So it is only by means of applying reasoning and critical analysis that one can really differentiate between what is definitive and what is non-definitive in the Buddha's teachings.
Yes, that's all. Now break.